Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Discussing subdivisions of Lakshana, figurative usage. The first division that was presented was between that which is simply conventional and that which expresses a special purpose, or more specifically, leads to some suggestion, or vyanjana. The simple Rudha Lakshana is fairly common in ordinary language, but it's not of much poetic interest because it doesn't create Vyanjana, therefore it's not even counted. I put it in parentheses. It's just not of much interest in poets. What was the example of Rudha Lakshana?
Oh, the name Vishwaksena by convention literally refers to the Supreme Lord Vishnu. That's literal, Abhidhavriti, and it's by Rudhi. Not by derivation. By derivation, it would mean anybody who has, any king who has a lot of armies. That's not actual usage of the word. Actual literal usage of the word Vishwaksena refers to Vishnu. But then there's a figurative usage. It refers to a certain associate of Vishnu. He's also called Vishwaksena. That's Rudha Lakshana. But calling that associate Vishwaksena doesn't create anything poetic. So therefore, we're not even going to further analyze the Rudha Lakshana for the purposes of poetry. Prayojanavati Lakshana has further subdivisions. We considered the Saropa and Sadyavasana, and that's just simply where you have a comparison. You have two different things. You have the original, the literal meaning, and the figurative meaning. If they're both present, if they're both expressed, like you say, Gritam Ayur. Ghee is life itself. Actually, ghee is a cause. Ghee is long life. Ghee is a cause of long life, but we say figuratively that ghee is long life. If we say both words, ghee is long life, that's saropa, because we have both the original and the figurative, both expressed. But if we just say Ayurvedam, I hold up a bottle of ghee and I say, this is long life. And I don't call it ghee. Then I'm leaving out the original, the literal meaning. That's Sadyavasana. If I say, the villager is a stupid bull, that's Saropa. If I just say, he's a stupid bull, this is a stupid bull, and I don't even call him a villager, then that's Sadyavasana. Now, both of those categories can be further divided into Shuddha and Gauna. Whether the point of the the connection between the literal and the figurative, whether it's based on a concrete relationship or whether it's just based on similarity of qualities. So if it's only similarity of qualities, it's gauna, if the basis of comparison. If it's something concrete, some real relationship, then it's shuddha. So that gives us four different kinds of lakshana, not counting rudha lakshana. Now we're going to further subdivide, and Jiva Goswami is going to start counting the numbers. That's why I made this diagram. He's going to start counting. by the time we get to the end of the chapter, it's going to be in six digits, a five-digit number of how many different subdivisions we have, hundreds of thousands. Lakshana. Okay, now we're continuing. Hare Krishna. Now, we have another subdivision. But this will only apply to the Shuddha, not to the Gona. The Shuddha, or the figurative usage in which the connection between the literal and the figurative is something concrete, a real relationship, that can be of two kinds. They are called Upadana Lakshana and Lakshana Lakshana. Here's the definition that's given in the Karaka of these two different kinds, Upadana Lakshana and Lakshana Lakshana. Parakshepa swasidyartam sparasmin swasamarpanam yoyoste lakshane shudhe prag upadana lakshane. So there are two kinds of shuddha lakshana, according to whether one thing happens or the other. And they're called Prag Upadana Lakshane. They're both Lakshanas, but you prefix the term either Lakshana Upadana Lakshana with the prefix Upadana, or Lakshana Lakshana with the prefix Lakshana. We have Upadana Lakshana, Lakshana Lakshana. And the difference is, in one case, there's Parakshepa Svasidyartam. Akshepa is a logical presumption. There's a logical presumption of something else in order to make the original successful. That's Upadana Lakshana. I'll explain by example. And then there's giving or donating one's own self to something else. That's the Lakshana Lakshana. I'm sorry? Well, it'll require an example to make it clear, but donating oneself to something else, that's the second kind, lakshana, lakshana. Parasmin swasamarpanam, offering oneself to something else. See, what's the focus in the first kind is the original. In the second, the original gives us the focus away to the other thing. But let's see examples. Venur, listen to the example of the first kind, Upadana Lakshana. Venur Vadayati. Vina Shrutim Anukurvanti. This is two sentences. The flute sings, and the veena imitates the musical scale. Now, why it has to be understood metaphorically is that flutes are not living conscious beings. They don't sing. Someone can blow into a flute and you know, with his fingers cover up the holes, and the person can play the flute. The flutes themselves literally don't sing. Same thing with the veena.
The Veena doesn't know how to imitate anything. The person who's human being who's playing the Veena can do the imitating. But we say metaphorically, the flute is singing. The Veena is imitating the certain melodic pattern. Now, what's happening here? The flute and the Veena, in order to make themselves successful, they have to create the presumption of something else. We're presuming that Krishna is playing the flute and Lalita Devi is playing the Veena. You know, the kartas have to be presumed, because the flutes themselves can only be secondarily the singer and the imitator. So this is the first kind, Upadana Lakshana. We're talking about flutes, and the focus stays on the flute and on the Veena, but we have to presume the person who's playing, the people who are playing these instruments, have to be presumed in order to make any sense out of the sentence. So for the flute and the Veena to do what they claim to be doing, something else has to be brought in by presumption. Now, let me find an example of Lakshana. Before we get into the further discussion here. Oh, Gangayam Gosha. There's a village on the Ganga. Well, no, there's not a village floating on top of the river. That's not what we're talking about. The focus shifts. What we're talking about figuratively is the shore of the Ganga. Ganga, although the word does literally mean the name of the river, figuratively it refers to the shore of the river. So the river has given away. What is given away is its qualities. It's, you know, what's being suggested by this metaphor is the sanctity and the purity of the shore of the river where the village is. So the river is donated its qualities. It's, in effect, donated itself to the shore. So this is Lakshana. We can understand that what's different here is the focus has shifted. Now the focus is on the other thing, not on the original thing. Rather than adding something to the original thing, we're shifting focus completely to the other thing. We're not talking really about the Ganga, we're talking about the shore of the Ganga. That is Lakshana. A little tricky, but subtle, but it is, the poets are concerned about this distinction. And this is only occurs. This distinction only occurs for Shuddha Lakshana, based on a real relationship, and the Shuddha is only Prayojanavati, not Ruta. That's why we have 6, and not at this point 18 or whatever. There would be a lot more, but we don't subdivide the Ruta, and we don't subdivide the Gona, so we only have 6 categories so far. Yes, question? Well, I'll wait for the mic so we can record it. Yeah.
Because in this Lakshana, you said that the qualities of one thing are given to another thing.
Right, but then the other thing takes over. Then we're really looking at the other thing with the qualities of the original thing. In the first case, we're looking at the original thing with something added to it to make it, what it's doing, make sense.
So, like example, like when we call Lakshmi or Vishnu Kamalasana,
we're calling Lakshmi Kamalasana?
Yeah, or anyone, Lakshmi or Narayana. Many times they're addressed as Kamalasana, the one who is sitting on a lotus.
Is that metaphorical? Because he's
he may actually be sitting on the lotus also.
Yeah,
but
he is.
Because he's sitting on the lotus.
It's conventional that it's referring to that particular person and not someone else who might be sitting. You know, I can sit down on a lotus too. That doesn't make me Lakshmi or Brahma. Yeah.
So, but it is conventionally only refers to certain people. That's rudi. That still can be literal. That's not involving lakshana.
But the vyanjana that they are creating because they're sitting on the lotus.
Vyanjana is not created only by lakshana. Vyanjana is also created by literal meaning.
Yeah.
Vyanjana can be created by abhida. It can be created by lakshana, and it can be created by another vyanjana. So it's not limited. Vyanjana is not limited to only being created by lakshana. So in that case, there is a vyanjana, but it's coming from a literal meaning.
Okay, that doesn't come under
yeah.
the category.
Yeah, there's no lakshana involved that I see.
Okay, but here the vyanjana being that they also must have soft limbs.
Yeah, but that there's no reason why you can't that can't be created by a literal expression.
Yeah,
abhidha vritti can also create vyanjana. You can skip over the lakshana and go right to vyanjana. From abhidha directly to vyanjana. Can be done. Yeah. Well, okay. Now, let's see. There's some further discussion here to make it more complicated. Anyway, both of these kinds, upadana and lakshana, are considered shuddha because there's no presumption here, not metaphoric imagination here. When you say the man is a bull, that's by comparison of qualities, and the man isn't a bull. You know, that's metaphorical. He's not really a bull. Whereas if I said the spears enter the stage, well, the spears are entering, but they're not entering by themselves. People are carrying them. And also, some of the people who come on the stage don't have spears, not all of them. So the spears are carried by people, and also some people come also without spears. Still, we say the spears enter. That's what the playwright wrote. And the actors are supposed to understand what they mean by that. In that case, the spears are there. It's not metaphorical in the sense that there's no real spears. There are real spears there. But in the case of calling the man a bull, there's no real bull there, just a man. So, but in these upadana and lakshana, we don't have such a metaphor where the original is absent. In Saropa and Sajavasana, it's a question of whether the original is expressed. But even when it's not expressed, it's implied. If I say, this is life, and I'm pointing to a bottle of ghee, the ghee, without being said, is understood. The original is there, but it's not expressed. But in the case of upachara, of actual metaphor, the original disappears. So there's no mixture, there's no admixture of metaphor in the shuddha, in these two kinds of lakshana, so therefore they have to be shuddha. Because in gona lakshana, the original is not there. I'm sorry, the bull is not there. Not the original, but the metaphorical bull is not there. The original's there, the stupid man is there, who has bull-like quality, but there's no bull involved. So there it's gona. And you don't divide that gona up into upadana because it's not a question of one thing, you know, taking quality of another thing. You only have one thing involved, the man. Yes? Upachara means metaphor, where you don't, the thing isn't really there, you're just imagining it's there. Well, gona involves upachara. It may. It still can. Yes. Well, no, it doesn't. I guess it doesn't, according to what we say here. Upacharin amishritvat shuddhi. So, practically, a definition of shuddha, there's no mixture of imagination. It's everything in there is real. It seems to be what's said. I'm not sure if that's true, but that's what Kavi Karnapur is saying here. Okay, let's see what else he says.
Now, we may have cases where it looks like a metaphor, and we might consider it a upadana lakshana, but it's not really a lakshana at all. The two cases where he says where you have a pseudo lakshana, and the, you know what you think is a figurative usage, but it's not, are when there is actual identity, avinabhava, or not identity, but one thing is always present with the other, or artapati, the negative hypothetical logic by which you know that Devadatta is eating at night because he's fat, but you never see him eating during the day. Then you have to presume he's eating at night. Now, that's not metaphor. Neither is, let's see, Gaur Anubandhya is supposedly an injunction of the Vedas. And it just means you should tie up the cow. This is for a cow sacrifice. You have to tie up the cow. It's an injunction. Now, the problem is, literally, the word go refers to what? We discussed this before, although there's two different theories about it, but one theory is that go refers to what? Yeah, cowness. The universality of cowness. Okay, how are you going to tie up cowness? This is, you know, the person who has to do the sacrifice is going to scratch his head and say, well, gaur means cowness, which resides in cows, but how am I going to catch cowness and tie it up? So you might think, well, that's a metaphor. That's a lakshana, figurative usage. That when you say gaur, which literally refers to cowness, you're figuratively meaning a particular cow. Because if you're going to, you know, to tie it up, you got to take a particular cow and tie it up. You can't tie up cowness. Okay, but the argument is no. In this case, it's not really lakshana. It's simply logical deduction. Akshipyate, akshepa. By logical presumption, you have to understand by the word go some particular cow. There's discussion in various shastras, like in, let me see where. Anyway, one statement in one shastra is gau. Oh, okay. No, vishesham nabida gachet kshina shakti visheshane. Wow, okay. Now, when you're talking about cow, the word go, it's referring first of all to the visheshanam, cowness. Is an attribute of cows, right? All cows have cowness. And what's the thing that has the cowness? The cow. So we can call the cow, the individual cows, all the cows in the world, are the visheshyams. And the cowness that each of them shares is the visheshyam. So the injunction, not the injunction, but the rule of logic is that, yeah, the literal meaning does not express the visheshyam when the meaning has already been used in expressing the visheshyam. Although, theoretically, the word cow refers to cowness, but the situation of the sacrifice demands that you presume you're talking about a particular cow to get tied up. So it's referring to the... Okay. Okay. Well, that injunction is saying that the word go actually does not refer to the individual cow. Because the word is literally refers to cowness. And once a word has expressed its meaning, that's it, it's finished. The abhida is finished. It's been used up by referring to cowness. You can't just pick up the abhida again and try to use it again. You know, the ammunition's gone. You know, you've shot your bullet, it's gone. So the abhida is already used to express cowness. You can't say, well, now it also expresses individual cow. No, you're going to have to use something else. So it is true that the word's literal meaning doesn't refer directly to cow, but it refers to cowness only. But it doesn't mean that therefore you have to resort to lakshana. Because all you have to do is resort to simple logic. And that's explained in the Vakyapadiya, Bhartrahari's book. Bhartrahari, who invented the theory of Spotavad. So in his book, Vakyapadiya, which presents the Spotavad, he says, Gauch swarupena na gaur, napya agaur, to abhisambandat to gau. The word gau doesn't literally mean a particular cow, nor does it refer to a particular non-cow. It doesn't refer, certainly doesn't refer to a horse or a pig. But it does refer to particular cow through indirect connection. Through the connection that the cowness has to cows and it doesn't have to pigs and horses. We, by presumption, by simple akshepa, we take the word go to mean individual cow in practical usage. That's not considered lakshana, it's considered simple logical presumption. It's still abhidhavritti. Similarly, if I say, do it, or rather, let's make it passive, kriyatam, it should be done. Okay, fine. How do I know who's supposed to do it? Well, it's just impersonal. It should be done. But suppose I'm talking to you and there's nobody else around. You can presume I'm meaning you should do it. You know, because I'm the person I'm talking to. You're the person I'm talking to. By presumption, you don't have to call that metaphorical that, you know, the nobody really means me by lakshana. There has to be a subject and an action. So you just presume it's the person who's getting talked to. Let it be done. Is it a polite way of saying, you please do it? So the subject, karta, is presumed by akshepa, by the simple logical presumption. Or kuru, do it. Okay, what you're supposed to do, you can know from the context. Would you like that we have Pani or Sabji today? And the answer is, yes, do it. You don't have to ask, do what? You know from the context. Okay, make the Pani or Sabji. So the logic of the context, we can presume what the object of the verb is. Or in some case, the verb may be missing. Okay, well, yeah, griham. Pravisha pindam griham bakshayeti. I think that's backwards. If you just say pravisha, please enter. Well, how to enter what? There's no object. We understand from the context. If I'm standing in front of the door to my house and I'm greeting you and I say, please enter, I mean enter the house, not enter a hole in the ground. You know from the context. It's easily presumed. You don't have to consider that lakshana either. It's just, a logical extension of the literal meaning, just supplying the missing piece in the context. Very often we say things in incomplete sentences. We don't say the object, we don't say the subject, because they're understood from the context. That's simple, that's called akshepa, not lakshana. Or last example, pindam. Here's prasadam. Well, okay, prasadam, what am I supposed to do with it? Rub it on the wall? No, if somebody offers you prasadam, you should know what to do with it. It's to be, please eat it. You don't have to say the verb, it's implied. So these are cases where there's akshepa, simple presumption of a missing part. they're not considered lakshana. And then also, when you have artapati, like the discussion that pino devadatto divana bhunte ratra bhunte, fat devadatta doesn't eat during the day, therefore he must be eating at night. That's not lakshana. That's just simply a special kind of logic. So therefore, there's no upadana lakshana. There's no lakshana at all in these cases. It's just simple application of logic to figure out the meaning. But cases like kunta pravijanti, the spears enter, that has to be understood as a lakshana. Okay, spears are entering. They're walking on the stage, but they're not walking on the stage all by themselves. We're implying that there are people carrying the spears. That is lakshana. And it's upadana lakshana, because the spears are there and they remain the focus. The reason why the playwright says the spears enter rather than people carrying spears enter, he wants to see the attention of the audience focused on the spears. Wow, all those spears. You know, they really mean they're ready for a fight. So the focus is on the spears, not on the people carrying them. Therefore, it said the spears enter. That is upadana lakshana. The spears, in order to successfully do what they're supposed to be doing, they have to borrow the idea of something else, the people carrying them. That is upadana lakshana. And Gangayam Gosha, the Ganga has to give itself away to the shore. The focus is not on the Ganga, but the focus shifts to the shore. And the Ganga donates its own qualities to the shore. That's lakshana lakshana. Any questions about that? That's upadana lakshana, because the focus stays on the spears. It's not that the spears that we're talking about spears, but forget the spears, we're really talking about people. We're talking about spears, and we're saying the spears enter to keep the focus on the spears. You know, it's just a bunch of, you know, extra actors, extras, who only get paid 10 rupees a day to carry a spear. They don't say anything. So they're not very, these people are not, who are carrying the spears are not very interesting on the stage. There's some, you know, people don't even know how to act. They just know how to carry a spear. But we're interested in all these spears on the stage. That's exciting. You know, it's going to be a fight. So the focus is on the spears. So the spears are not giving themselves away. They're borrowing the people. So that's upadana lakshana. Yes. Do I have that wrong?
No, I just want to say.
I'm not sure if it's really supposed to be nominative shaktir, or maybe it's shaktau. Maybe there's a mistake there. I don't know what the subject, what the visheshanam of kshina shaktir would be. I don't see a noun.
What it means in the context.
Okay, let me. Do you know? Go ahead. We're supposed to be using the microphone so it can be recorded.
When you explained it, I understood it this way. You said, visheshyam na abhidha gachet.
That's a different argument.
Kshina shaktir visheshane.
Oh, okay. Yes.
The abhidha, the name, it doesn't go into the visheshya, because it has already lost all its energy in the visheshana.
Yeah, it's used itself up expressing the visheshanam. In other words, the word go has already expressed the idea of cowness. That's the literal meaning. So you can't, on the level of abhida, you cannot have it, use it again. Once the meaning is expressed, there's no more power to express something else. Even when a word has multiple meanings, it usually means only one of those meanings at a time. Once you use one of the meanings, you can't also use one of the other meanings. So if it means cowness, which is the visheshanam, then it can't also come back and mean cow, one cow. To do that, you have to apply akshepa. You don't need lakshana, but you do need some logical extension. By implication of the context, I can understand it has to be an individual cow. Yes, I'm going to tie up cowness, but I'm going to do it by catching an individual cow. Because there's cowness in the cow. If I can tie up the cow, then I've tied up cowness. Logically. But that's not lakshana, that's still literal. Yes? And there may be some other people in the crowd who don't have spears.
Yeah, so is that subdivision of upadana, or how does it... There's two varieties of the same upadana. Like all people might carry the spears, and some people might
carry... I don't know about subdivision, but it's metaphorical, it's figurative. It's partly, I guess it's partly jahat swarta. You know... For the people who are carrying spears, the spears are there. So it's Ajahat Swarta Lakshana. We didn't even list that in the subdivision.
Is that
Jahat Swarta and Ajahat? That makes another two subdivisions, but somehow.
And
just a minute. Kavi Kanapur is not counting those two, you know, when he's adding up to six. Otherwise, we'd have 12. So when you're talking about, you know, when the situation is some people are not carrying spears, then for the people who are not carrying spears, it's jahat swarta. The spear is missing. And metaphorically, they're called spear carriers because they're in a crowd of spear carriers, even though they don't have a spear.
So is that a combination of like this? We saw the third category as jahata, jahat swarta.
Yes. This technically, when you got a crowd of, you know, when it says the spears enter, and what enters is some people with spears and some people without spears, then that's jahat as jahat swarta.
It can be under the Shuddha Upadana
also. Yeah, then it gets, it's, you know, both of those, Jahat Swarta, Ajahat Swarta, and Jahat Jahat, all three divide up all these ways. Okay, and if we added those on top, then we'd have 18 here instead of 6. 6 times 3. But for some reason he's not counting those. Okay? Now, it's a little late. Let's move on a little bit. Anyway, Zakaraka here explaining how we have four varieties, these four, Shuddha Gauna, Shuddha Gauna, Shuddha Saropa, Shuddha Sajavasana, Gauna Saropa, Gauna Sajavasana. That makes four divisions. And then, when you add the division of Upadana and Lakshana, Upadana, Lakshana, and Lakshana, Lakshana, which only applies to Shuddha, then you end up with six divisions. So far, we're going to divide up more. In fact, the next idea is all of these divide up three ways. We can have what's called Guda Vyangya, Gata Vyangya, and vyakta vyangya. Now, vyangya means what? Not imitation. In fact, in Sanskrit, it doesn't mean imitation. Anukarna is imitation. No. What does the verb vyanj mean? What does it mean literally, vyanj? Manifest. Okay, manifest and unmanifest. Well, okay. Well, that's when we say vyakta vyangya, the first vyakta in that compound means manifest. But vyangya has a technical meaning.
Dwani.
Yes, dwani, suggestion, which we really haven't talked about yet. We've, you know, said a few things about it, but we haven't properly defined vyangya, or we gave some definition. But the discussion of dwani starts in two pages. And then continues through the whole next chapter. Okay, but we haven't gotten into the serious discussion of dwani yet. We don't know that much about dwani, but still, here we're referring it to it. That lakshana, whether the lakshana in a hidden way or a vague way expresses a dwani, whether it doesn't express any dwani, gata vyanga, the suggestion is absent. There is no suggestion. Or that the suggestion is obvious, vyakta, manifest, obvious. So vague suggestion, no suggestion, an obvious suggestion, created by a lakshana, that makes three kinds of lakshana. Now, lakshana can fail to make any suggestion. That is a category. But, gyativyangeya nadriyate, we don't have much regard for gata lakshana, for gata vyangeya lakshana. If a figurative usage doesn't create any suggestion, then it's not of much interest to the poets. So that also gets pushed aside. It's mentioned as a third division, but it's not going to be further discussed. Of course, in ordinary language and in mediocre poetry, there may be many lakshanas that don't suggest anything. They're just fancy words. But they're not real poetry. Poetry, it's really poetry when dhwani is created. And all that is of real use in poetry is whatever creates dhwani. A lot of dhwani can come from various sources, but what doesn't create dhwani is not really poetic. Of course, you may have, you know, plain language as part of your poetry, you know, just binding it together, filling up the sentences, but that's not the poetic part. We're going to stop here. And next time we will discuss, actually we'll look at some examples of the lakshana which vaguely suggests dhwani, and the lakshana that obviously suggests dhwani. I think that when you have a vague suggestion, it's not uttama kavi, it's not kavya, it's not first class poetry, it's mediocre. If your suggestions are vague. But it is acknowledged that there is such poetry. And he'll give examples of both. But we'll discuss that next time. Any questions? Anything that wasn't clear? Okay. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Shri Kavi Karnapur Ki Jai.